Anti-leaders quiz chief on blind tiger policy, The Atlanta Journal, Wednesday, the 26th of November, 1913, page 1, column 2. DuBose and Richards inquire why arrests aren't made. No money is answer a query as to the attitude of the police and detective authorities toward blind tiger conditions which are alleged to exist in Atlanta, was the meat of a conference which Reverend Dr. H.M. DuBose and Reverend J.B. Richards, the former an official of the Georgia Anti-Saloon League, and the latter its secretary, had with Chief of Police Beavers and Chief of Detectives Lanford in the former's office Wednesday. The Anti-Saloon Leaguers were accompanied to the conference by J.W. Hewitt, a private detective. This query developed the answer of the police authorities, it is said, that their attitude is to enforce the law as completely as they can, but that they are limited in their detective work by the lack of city funds for expenses. Without money with which to buy liquor from blind tigers, the two chiefs informed the leaguers, it is not possible for them to get proof of sales in violation of the prohibition law unless the merest chance leads them within sight of a purchase just when the money and liquor are changing hands. Another conference may be held sometime during the latter part of this week or the first part of next week, at the request of Messrs. DuBose and Richards, but its purpose is not revealed. There is nothing definite at all to give out, said Dr. DuBose after the conference of Wednesday. We were just consulting with the chiefs along general lines about matters in general. Of course, I represent the Anti-Saloon League, and that foe may indicate the nature of the conference. Dr. DuBose was asked if definite evidence, such, for instance, as could be used to convict a man, was produced before the officers. He answered that the statement was made at a public meeting conducted by the League some days ago that purchases of liquor had been made in saloons and other places.
No, sir. No arrests will be made right now.
He answered to another question as to whether immediate action by the police is to be expected. That no exceptional action will be taken by the authorities is indicated conclusively by their answer Wednesday that they haven't a nickel of expense money to work with. Page 1, column 4. Judge urges married children to live separate until grown you. Children should wait until you are grown and then go back and live together, remarked Judge John T. Pendleton of the Superior Court Wednesday to Mrs. Frances C. Dempsey and Robert M. Dempsey in passing on the former's suit for alimony and support for her tiny baby. I can't see that either of you is especially to blame, although the boy acted wrongfully in leaving his wife just before their baby was born, and he should pay half of what he earns toward her support. This trouble may blow over in a few years, and when you are old enough to live by yourselves, you may be happy. According to the story told by A.E. Enschbacher of 270 Sunset Avenue, father of the girl, his daughter and Dempsey married last year, when she was 15 and he 17 years old. They came asking forgiveness and he forgave them, telling Dempsey he could live with him and that he would send him to a night school so he might get an education. Things went happily for a while, but after little troubles, Dempsey decided that he couldn't get along at his father-in-law's and asked his wife to leave with him. She refused, and he went to Birmingham. Lately, he has returned and is living at 517 Sunset Avenue. He has a job paying $11 per week, and Judge Pendleton ordered that he pay $20 per month alimony. Page 7, column 2. Jury must decide on removal of bodies. Court is asked to construe will of Mrs. Mary J. Rucker. A jury in Judge John T. Pendleton's division of the Superior Court must decide whether or not the bodies of the late Chapman Powell and his wife, which were interred in Decatur more than 50 years ago, shall be removed to a vault at Oakland or Westview Cemetery. The grandchildren of the deceased object to the removal of the bodies from the Decatur churchyard, but their removal is one of the principal provisions of the will of the late Mrs. Mary J. Rucker, who devoted $15,000 of an estate valued at $250,000 to the erection of a vault. Accordingly, the executor, Charles J. McKinney, has asked the Superior Court to construe the will and to decide whether or not the removal of the bodies is practicable and essential before the estate can be divided. Pass on bequest. The case will probably not be concluded until Friday. Another point of interest to be decided is the status of a $5,000 bequest to the Presbyterian Hospital, which no longer exists.
The principal heirs to the Rucker fortune are Mrs. Martha A.J. Powell, a sister of the deceased, G.L.W. Powell, a brother, P.T. Powell, Houston Powell, John C. Powell, Mrs. Mary Montgomery, Mrs. Anna Powell Liddell, and Mrs. Mary P. Eberhart, nieces and nephews. There are several special bequests to other relatives, friends, and servants. Mrs. Rucker died several years ago, but her estate has never been out of the courts. Among the property of the estate is a lot on Alabama Streets near Forsyth, which Mrs. Eleanor Gunby claims under a deed of trust in 1868. Page 9, column 2. Chinamen go to court about money raised to help rebuild empire. The fact that Chinamen living in Georgia raised $8,000 to assist Dr. Sun Yat-sen in establishing a new government in the ancient empire has become public through the filing of an injunction suit restraining the committee from appropriating the cash to the individual uses of its members. The suit was brought in the name of the Chikong Tong, of which Lum Zhou is president, and was directed against Lu Jim, Fong Sing, and Charlie Lee, Atlanta Chinamen, who were named when the money was collected as a committee to send it to Dr. Sun. Now that Dr. Sun is out of power and the money cannot be used for the purpose for which it was originally subscribed, Lum Zhou, as president of the Tong, declares he wishes to refund it to the subscribers. The committee, however, he alleged, objects to this plan and would use it for its own benefit. Accordingly, the restraining order was sought and obtained. The suit is set for a hearing on December 13th before Judge John T. Pendleton. Attorney Eugene Thomas represents Lum Zhou and the Tong.